Might say that it's pretty important of how things begin, how things start. Today being the second Sunday in Ordinary Time, kind of starts off beginning with Jesus' public ministry. So we believe that Jesus, at the age of around 30 years of age, for 3 years, began preaching and teaching, making it known to the world that he was the Son of God. Maybe for some people, maybe many of them still remembered 30 years plus at Jesus' birth and remembering hearing many different conversations and talks about the Son of God coming and being born. And maybe for some of them, maybe they had forgotten this, or maybe some of them had still were waiting and the expectation of the Son of God and waiting for things to change or things to happen. Don't know if you're into reading books or a lot of books or even movies, the importance again of how it starts. I can remember as a kid once or twice being in the family movie, and maybe the movie started and I was off somewhere else, and then coming back and then I began asking questions. Who is this guy? Why did that happen? And my dad or my mom saying, well, it was revealed at the beginning. Why were you not here? So I can remember always making sure that I was there at the beginning of the movie because I wanted to make sure I knew the plot and I knew the characters and whatnot. And my sisters, of course, in loving ways, even sometimes try to start before me just because, don't start, you got to be there. Then I can even remember in high school, you know, you remember crafty ways of getting through books. I wasn't much into reading books. And then it was like, well, if I read the first chapter and the last chapter, I can get everything that I need. Well, of course, that doesn't necessarily work out either. But there's a sense that wanting to make sure that we have the complete picture, complete understanding. But that sense of the importance of the beginning, right? There's always seems to be something at the beginning that will continue to unfold as the story, as the book, as the movie goes, right? Kind of building on what happened at the beginning. And there's a sense of understanding, revelation that takes place. Maybe for us, hearing this particular phrase that John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Maybe for us, I hope this strikes us, but maybe it would not have, maybe it does not strike us as much as it would have the people at the time that John the Baptist was speaking. During that time, they definitely were awaiting a Savior. This idea of Lamb of God, the Lamb, was very important to them because many of them were into what we call the temple sacrifices. So many of them, for atonement of their sins and mistakes that they had made, they offered sacrifices to God. So they would bring a lamb or a goat or two turtle doves or particular possessions that they had that in recompense. So to make up for the sins that they committed, they would bring a sacrifice to the temple, and it was offered and sacrificed for them, that hopefully at that time they would be in good union again with God because of their sins. And so to hear this particular phrase, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, this is different. This is a human person that John the Baptist is speaking of, not necessarily a little lamb or an animal, but a person. How will he take away the sins of the world? Right? Many times we hear in other parts of Scripture when Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. What do the Pharisees say? Only God can forgive sins. Why are you speaking in these words? Maybe you are God. Maybe you are the one that we have been waiting for. So I know for many of us, we come to church for many different reasons, many different reasons that you are here. Many reasons that you've taken time out of your day to come. I hope one of the reasons that you come to Mass and that you come here is because you want to be forgiven of your sins. You want to be renewed and washed clean. You want to encounter the Lamb of God. I spoke last week in the homily just a little bit of baptism and this reality that at baptism, of course, our souls are cleansed and purified of all original sin, and our soul becomes as white as a particular garment that we are wearing, the white garment that we have placed on. And so this realization that as we sin, make mistakes in life, our soul becomes not clean or pure anymore. But when we encounter Christ, when we encounter God, who is without sin, he washes and renews our souls again. And this happens, of course, in confession. Every time that we go to confession and encounter God and admit our sins, our soul becomes as white as it was on the day of our baptism. And again, every time that we come to receive Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, we believe that all of our venial sins, everything that we've committed, are washed away. So as you leave church, you're transformed again. You're as if you were as clean and pure on the day of your baptism, have become a new creation. So I desire for you to recognize that, and maybe to place this idea in whatever other reason that you come to church for, that the number one reason that you come is to be forgiven of your sins, to encounter the living God, to be renewed. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Hopefully, this particular phrase is also familiar to you because Father Joseph and I say it every Sunday at Mass or every time you go to Mass. Here in a few minutes, I'll raise up the host and the chalice, which the body and the blood of Christ, and I will say, behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb. I hope that moves you to realization that I am going to be forgiven. My sins and my encountering my God who has created me and made me. That there is a longing in your heart for that encounter as you come up to communion. Why it's so important that we reverence the host and the chalice. You know, the reason as we receive him on our hands or receive him on our tongue, the realization of what we are encountering. The Lamb of God who is taking away our sins. This just isn't something that happened 2,000 years ago, as John the Baptist pointed out Jesus, but it is real today. And every Mass that you come to, the priest is pointing out to you the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. How will this change or affect your life? It's very beautiful in the readings today. We hear of Isaiah in the first reading, St. Paul in the second reading, and, of course, John the Baptist in the Gospel. Three particular men who were, God was leading and wanting them to share and to bring the light into the world. And I like that first reading. It's too little, God says to Isaiah, that you just go and talk to the tribe of Israel, the people here, I'm going to make you a light to the nations. All of you are called to be a light to the nations. And it's as simple as you recognizing that Jesus Christ dwells in you, because that's the light. You don't have to make the light. You don't have to try to change. We have to definitely be open to the Lord transforming our life. But the light to the nations is that you believe that the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world is dwelling in you. And that he has had an effect on your life. That even moves St. Paul. We hear it might be interesting to you to say, well, all that happened in that second reading was just the intro of St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. But again, how powerful it is. St. Paul says to them, this message that I come, bearing to you good news, speaking of Jesus Christ crucified, who is risen and is a light to the world, who calls you to be holy. I don't know, many times when I maybe send letters or text messages or whatnot, you know, I might tell people what my address is. It's in Georgetown, Texas, or here's my telephone number. Here's kind of who I am or how to connect with me. But do I ever say that I'm a son of God, a daughter of God, that I am a Christian, that I have the light of God within me? And I want, this is probably the most important information that I would want you to know about me. That I'm God's son, God's daughter, and he dwells within me. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So today, I encourage that your desire to be transformed, to be moved when you hear those particular words, and recognizing what is being said to you and what happens to you as you come in the line for Eucharist. And that you may allow this light to dwell within you as you go out into the world after the Mass today.